Welcome to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. Each week, these messages are brought to you with practical help for daily living from our teacher and pastor, John S. Terrell. Our hope is that you'll be encouraged and challenged by this message, and that you'll share it with a friend. This morning, Pastor John continues the series entitled, Accepting the Love of God. Christians know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, but did you also know that He wants to be your friend? It's true. And He has given a number of promises upon which we can rest assured that these are not merely empty words. To become a friend, you must do what Jesus has asked you to do, namely, to be born again. And as a friend, Jesus will never abandon you. He will give you eternal life and prepare a place in heaven for you. He will meet all your needs, provide healing, and never let you be tempted above what you are able to handle. Furthermore, He will give you peace and rest and send the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide you. This message is entitled, Are You a Friend of Jesus? Now, let's go to the sanctuary and join Pastor John as he begins today's message.
Heavenly Father, I want to thank and praise You right now. That Lord, You will never leave us nor forsake us. And Father God, people might curse us. People might harm us. Sickness might come. We might lose jobs, whatever it is. But we know one thing. The anchor holds. The anchor holds. His name is Jesus. And Satan, you're a loser. We reject you right now. We reject all the garbage that you put on us. We will not receive it, because we are the children of God, the children of light. And we walk in that. Thank you, Father God, for giving us a message today that would lift our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 15. That's the Gospel of John, chapter 15. We are going to read just that one verse, John 15, verse number 14. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Jesus said, you are my friends. If you do whatsoever I command you. Is Jesus your friend? And are you a friend of Jesus? This is part 6 of the series, Accepting the Love of God. To become a friend of Jesus, we must know, what does He want us to do? Turn to John chapter 3. John the 3rd chapter. If you pick it up in verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no man can do this miracle that You do, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily, said to you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, said to you, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he can enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and you hear the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes, and where it goes. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. We need to be born again. If you want to be a friend of Jesus, if you want Him to be your friend, You have to be born again. Jesus did not say, join a church. Jesus did not say, go and feed the homeless. Go and do good. He didn't say that. He said, you have to be born again. Church membership will not bring you to heaven. Water baptism as an infant will not bring you to heaven. Communion is not going to bring you to heaven. You have to be born again. The question is, you might say, well, how do I get born again? It's very simple. You simply recognize that you're a sinner. And I haven't met a person yet that hadn't said, I'm a sinner. I have met some people that didn't say they were sinners, but they were dead and they didn't say anything. Acknowledge your sins to God. Ask God to forgive you for your sins. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He died on the cross, rose on the third day. And then ask Jesus to come into your life and heart and be your Lord and Savior. And just say, Jesus, save me. Forgive me my sins. And that is how you get born again. Very, very simple. Let me have you turn now to John chapter 10. I want us this morning to look upon Jesus. He is our friend. He wants to be your friend. And are you allowing Jesus to be your friend? In John 10, 1 through 15, we read the following. And let me get there, and I'm doing fine. Verily, verily, said to you, he that enters not the door to the sheepfold, but climbing up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. And then in verse number 7, we read this. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, said to you, I am the door of the sheep. All that came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep do not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out to find pasture. The thief comes not but for to steal and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Are you aware of that every day the thief comes to your house? Every day, the thief comes to your house. And he says this, give me your joy. Give me your money. Give me your health. Give me this and give me that. And he wants you to sing in his choir. His choir is called, Woe Unto Us. It's a very loud choir. They have a rock and roll band that gives them their music to it. And they sing this song every day. Woe unto me, pity this and pity that. Now, would you have to learn a simple this? Deal with a thief. When Satan comes and simply says, now I want to have your joy, tell him, devil, go to hell now, if not sooner. Demons, get out of this house. I'm not going to accept your garbage. I refuse the garbage of the devil. It stinks. It's his. Let him sit on that rotted garbage. But focus on this. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. A good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he is a hireling, and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep and flees, that the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he's a hireling, care not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father hath known me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus promised us, his friends, I will never leave you nor forsake you. There is an Iranian pastor sitting in Iran. I've been sitting there in person for about a year, year and a half. He's a native Iranian, accepted Christ, renounced Islam, and began to preach powerful. And he was arrested. And just like Jesus was taken to the religious court, the mullahs. Mullahs are rabbis. Excuse me, same garbage. And they simply said, you have forsaken Allah. And we're going to sentence you to death. If you recant, we will let you live. He told them, I will never say no to my Jesus. Several different courts he went to. Finally was sentenced to death. And time after time, people came and some said, look, you can go free. You don't have to die. You can go home to your family. All you have to do is to say no to Jesus. And this pastor said, how can I say no to Jesus that died for my sins? How can I say no to God who saved me? I'd rather die at the hands of these extreme mullahs, hell children, than to deny Jesus. Because I want to go to my Jesus. That man is a friend of Jesus. Secondly, Jesus said he will give us eternal life. In the same chapter, we go up to verses 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now, Jesus said, I will give you eternal life. This is something I really want you to think about. How long is eternal life? It's forever. When you got saved, you got saved. And Satan can never take away your eternal life. There's only two things that can destroy that for you. One is if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, which no one rarely does. And the other one, take the mark of the beast, and that's not here. But rest assured that Satan cannot take away your eternal life. And thirdly, Jesus will meet our needs. Turn to Matthew chapter 6. That's Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6. And you pick it up in verse number 24. No man can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he would hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body would you put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Listen to these words. Take no thought for your life. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why do you take thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, that they grow. They toil not, neither they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, or you a little faith? Let me ask you that are here to this morning, you that are watching me, how many of you came here hungry to church? You haven't had food to eat for weeks. How many of you came here and said, well, I slept in a cardboard box last night under a bridge. I did not have a home. How many of you said, I had to walk to church today because I don't have a car? If you really think right now, we have been well taken care of. We might not have all the money we want. We might not have been able to pay all the bills that we want to pay and get out of debt. But every day, you sit at a table and there is food. Every day, when you actually every night when you go to bed, you have a bed there. You sleep between the sheets. You got vehicles. We got phones, cell phones, television sets. We got all kind of things. How many of you ladies had to go to the river and wash? And scrub there in the cold water. You got washing machines. We are spoiled. Jesus said, I will meet your needs. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall be clothed? For if all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. But seek you first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Jesus said, I will meet your needs. Fourthly, Jesus would heal us. Turn to Luke chapter 4. That's the Gospel of Luke and the 4th chapter. The healing might not come when we expect it. It might be delayed at times, but he will heal us. In Luke 4:14, we read this. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit of Galilee, and there went out the fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in a synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as his custom was. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. There was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found a place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. He is our healer. Now, let me ask you this question. What does Buddha promise the people following him? Nothing. Before Buddha died, he said this, I did not find the truth. He died a disillusioned man. Buddha cannot give anything. What about the Hindu gods? What can I give? Nothing. What about the Prophet Muhammad? What can he give? The only thing Muhammad can give is hell, pain, and murder. There is none like Jesus. I think we need to begin to appreciate Jesus. Look here, we just gone down a few points. Do you really appreciate Jesus? What a God we have. What a Savior. And then he's gone to prepare a place for us. Turn to John 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. The Gospel of John, chapter 14. If you read here from verses 1 through 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Here's what the Lord showed when I read that. We know in Revelation chapter 21, it talks about a new heaven and new earth. But here, the Lord has shown me this. God already is creating the new heavens and the new earth. Listen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive it to myself, that where I am, then you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Right now, the new creation is taking place someplace outside this universe. A new heavens, a new earth. Jesus has gone to prepare, and one day, you and I are going to be there. Now I'm going to give you a bonus scripture. I can see some heads rolling, eyes rolling back in the head sockets, and saying, well, I haven't heard that before. I don't know about that. Well, turn to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. It doesn't say here, and I saw them create a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. The New Jerusalem is being prepared right now. And then point number 6. Jesus will not allow us to be tempted, but we're able to resist. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. That's 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Have you picked this up in verse number 13? There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. That is another gift that Jesus gave his friends. When you are tempted to the max, remember this, there is a way to escape. Just call on Jesus and say, Jesus, I begin to get tempted above what I can bear. Open a door. I want to flee. And he will open a door for you. And seventh, Jesus will give us his peace. John chapter 14. John chapter 14. I feel sorry for the Buddhists, the Hindus, the Muslims. Their religion gives them nothing but heartache and death. Our faith in Christ is fantastic. We couldn't have a better program. We should be able to go out and sell this program to anyone. But for some reason, this program does not sell. What a tragedy. In John 14:27, I like this. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said, I will give you peace. It doesn't matter what happens around us. You might be in a car wreck and you have total peace. You might have lost a job, you can have total peace. The peace that Jesus gives, he doesn't take away. It is a peace knowing this, that God is in control. It doesn't matter if you got lawsuits coming against you, people dying around you, people cheating on you, people that are simply saying bad things about you, people betraying you. You just sit down and say, Jesus, I want your peace. Devil, get out of here. You cannot take the peace that God has given me. The peace that passes all understanding. And then, eighthly, he will give us rest. Matthew 11. Matthew chapter 11. Have you read this from verse number 28? Actually, I want to read from verse number 27. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and him, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all you that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. What does that mean? It means this, that you simply die to yourself. You might say, well, I'm 40 years old, 60 years old, 50 years old, whatever it is, and I haven't had this and I haven't had that. And Jesus simply says, so what? You have me. And we sat telling him this, Lord, that's not enough. I want a job. I want money. I want this. I want that. I want to be healed. I want to have joy. I want to run around. I want a wife. I want children. I want all this. Jesus said, if you have me, you have it all. I will give you what you need. I will give you abundant life. But settle down first and worship me. Let me take you on a trip here. We go back to Egypt, the time of Moses. God had 10 plagues upon the Egyptians. And he finally got the Israelites moving, and they crossed the Red Sea. And once they got into the wilderness, they said, well, fine. We now have been delivered. We've been saved. That's fine. But where is the honey? Where is the promised land? We want it now. And God said, You're not ready. You're not ready. So they run out of water. And what did they do when they run out of water? Immediately they started to singing with a devil's choir, woe unto me group. Lord, we were back in Egypt. At least we had the onions there, the leeks and the garlic. Here we have nothing. So God gave them water. Then he gave them manna. Manna was the most perfect food. You don't get a heart attack of it. Your arteries do not get clogged. Manna is a perfect food. It's not like white bread. White bread would clog your colon. But manna is perfect. So they ate manna. And after a few months they said, Lord, we are tired of this manna. We don't want it anymore. We want meat. And God said, you ungrateful people. He said, I'm going to give you so much meat that will come out of your nostrils. So he sent them the birds, the quails. And they had meat for breakfast, meat for lunch, and meat for dinner. And now they said, we got too much meat. You know what? Turn with me right now to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. There's one thing that you and I cannot stand. I guarantee you that. Every one of you here, everybody you watch, there's one thing you can't stand. And that is if you give something to a person and they are unthankful. There's nothing that irks you and me more than we give something to somebody that says, that's not enough. I don't like that. Give me more. That's how God feels. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we read this. Let's read from verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were accepted in the tent, that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be you idolaters, as were some of them, as written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and rose up to play. Neither has committed fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Needless tempt Christ, as some of them tempted, and we destroy the serpents. And you and I as good Christians said, we haven't done that. Praise God, we haven't done that. Mm-hmm. Now, then in verse number 10, neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them for examples. They're written for our admonition. And when the ends of the world are come, wherefore let him think he stand, take heed lest he fall. Now, we need to stop murmuring. We need to stop simply saying, I don't like this. I don't like that. Shut up. If you got some food, thank God you got some food. Do you know there's a lot of homeless people that go outside of our grocery stores where they throw out the food that they cannot sell anymore? And they eat the stale bread, drink the milk that's a little bit spoiled, and eat the green vegetables that we will not buy. And they are happy and saying, praise God, thank you for the food. When shall you and I stop murmuring and complaining? Back to Matthew 11 now. Matthew 11. And I've been there myself. I complain. And I learned this. I want to sing in the choir that sings this song. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. That's a choir I want to sing in. Back in Matthew 11 now. Come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest of your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus said, come to me, and I will give you rest. And then point number 9, he will give us the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. That's the Gospel of John 14:26. Praise God, you know, we don't have a Bible where it says, you know, Jesus said this, okay, folks, if you love me, strap on a suicide vest and go and blow yourself up. Hallelujah, that's not in the Bible. Jesus never told us to do that. Muhammad does, through his written prophets and mullahs. In John 14:26, but a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he should teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I said unto you. He said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. In John 16, verse number 7, we read this. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto me, come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because they go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has of mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. Now, look in your outline now. I want to do this here now to get an impact. 9 things that Jesus said, I'm your friend. If you're my friend, this is what I will do. Jesus said, I will never abandon you. Thank you for that. He said, I give unto you eternal life. In heaven. He said, I will meet your needs. Not your greeds, but your needs. He said, I will heal you physically and emotionally. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. There's going to be a place for you where you can come. And you don't have to pay rent on that place. There's going to be no mortgage on that place. You don't have to have a down payment on that place. It's done. He will not allow you to be tempted about what you can bear. He will give you peace, his peace. He will give you rest. And he said, I will give you the Holy Spirit. That's my Jesus. Is that your Jesus? Is that the Jesus that you know? Well, it's in the Word. I did not take this out of books. I took it straight out of the Word for you this morning. Whenever you hear this message, Jesus wants you to be his friend. Are you a friend of Jesus? There's 2 things that happen when you meet people. You either have joy meeting people, or you have gloom and doom. This morning, several people came to the church And there were different situations here. I came to church today very joyful because God had met me and my wife, and we got having some breakthroughs. And I said, thank you, Jesus. But other people were having stress this morning, difficult this morning. By the time I came into the prayer room, and you say, you know, when I hit the door, I hit gloom and doom and depression. So you prayed it out there in the prayer meeting. You see, there's always going to be a fly. There's always going to be a mosquito. We are never going to get to a place where you go to a picnic and it's going to be free of flies, mosquitoes. It's not going to be a place where you're not going to have these pesky hornets and yellow jackets coming down and compete for your food. But you know what I learned to do when I go to a picnic in the summertime? I disregard the heat. I focus on the food. I focus on the food. And I simply said, I'm not going to focus on the flies or the mosquitoes or the jello jackets. I'm going to focus on this food, and I'm going to eat this food and enjoy it. Get your eyeballs off all this distraction. Focus it on Jesus Christ. And simply proclaim to him today, Jesus, I live a good life. I am saved. You're taking care of me. I'm going to go to heaven. I got all these 9 benefits. And I don't have to share, I don't have to show my Social Security. I don't have to show my Medicare card. I don't have to come up with any co-payments. It's free. Jesus said, sit down at the table. Sit down at the table and watch the food. And don't worry about the devil. I'm going to close with a bonus scripture. Psalms. Psalm 23. And I want you to say this. You did a heavy burden today. Jesus can lift you up. You know, we got altars up here. We got an altar. We got elders here, deaconesses to pray for you. Look in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is John Terrell's shepherd. I shall not want. Put your name in there. He makes John Terrell to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores John Terrell's soul. And he leads me in a path of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff that comfort me. And now verse 5. Let verse 5 stand out for you now. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Remember this now. Satan hates when you are joyful. He likes to destroy your party. And when you begin to prosper and have rest and things are going really well, and you think, praise God, I finally arrived to Glory Street. And my number is 355 Joy, Glory Street. Then Satan will send an emissary from the past. It might be from the IRS. It might be from Child Protective Services. It might be for the Sheriff's Department. It might be for the Planning Commission that says that we are going to do some things here. We're going to take away half your yard. Or it might be someone from the past that simply is stirring up trouble. What do you do then? You get the gospel gun out. You know what the gospel gun is? Glory, hallelujah. You get the gospel gun out and you simply start popping off. In the name of Jesus, get you behind me, Satan. Who cares what people said about me? Who cares about the IRS? Who cares about the sheriff's department? Who cares about the planning commission? Who cares? I am with Jesus. And I'm going to focus on my food. Hello? How many of you, when you come home, your wife will prepare the meal, whoever it is, prepare the meal for you? How many of you have to, you stand there, you're at the wall and stuff like this, you know? And someone's like, are you going to eat? I don't know. Are you going to have some food? I don't know. Why don't you sit there? Well, maybe I should. Why don't you pick up a fork and a knife here and start, take the food out? Can I? Is it my food? Is it good? You don't eat like that, do you? No one has to say to you, sit down. You sit down. Thank you, Lord, for this great food. Praise your name. And man, you get in there and you concentrate on that food. Right? Are you getting the message today? Focus on Jesus. Your table, where all the goodies are, is going to be in the midst of your enemies. Disregard these charlatans. Disregard these jerks. Don't worry about them. Let them walk around on the freeway while you're sitting down and eating your precious meal. Let's stand for prayer. My Heavenly Father, I want to personally thank you that I had a tremendous good day today. I thank you my wife had a tremendous good day today. And we're going to have a better day tomorrow. And better the next day. Because you are there, Jesus. You are my Lord and my Savior. My Master. My Shepherd. You are my friend. And I pray today, Father God, for everyone here to be able to understand who you are, and how much you love us. Anyone who's not saved, I pray right now that person will cry out for Jesus. And when you cry out for Jesus, he will hear you regardless of where you are. And if you need help, call us, write us. I'd love to hear from you. We just heard from people in Sweden. They simply wrote an email that said this. We were looking for something, ran across your website. And we've been looking for a church. We've been looking for a place to worship, and we found it, and we are so thankful. Let us know when you find it. Elders, you come. Deacons, the altars are open. In Jesus' name. If you got a burden today, have some oil put on you. Have it rolled away. And begin to rejoice.
Hello there, friend. You might have some questions about Christianity. There are many so-called Christian churches out there. So what makes a person a Christian? How do you get right with God? And how do you know when you'll die that you'll go to heaven? How exactly does a person get to heaven? Does God have a standard? And if so, what is it? What I'm about to tell you will be the most important information you will ever hear on this earth. And your decision will determine how you spend eternity. As you continue listening, I will explain. The bad news is this. When we are born into this world, we are automatically born with sin. Now you might think of yourself as a good person. After all, you're nice to other people, you give money to charity, and you try to live a good life. However, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's standard. So it doesn't matter how moral, religious, or philosophical you are, you've broken God's commandments, and that has separated you from God. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Now you might say, well, I'm a good person. Doesn't that count for something? Okay, let's take a little test. I'm going to ask you 3 questions. 1. Have you ever told a lie? 2. Have you ever stolen anything? Even something insignificant like a paperclip at work? 3. Have you ever lusted after someone of the opposite sex? Okay, how did you do? Most likely you answered yes to all 3 questions, which means you just failed the test. You see, these 3 questions are but 3 of God's 10 commandments. Failing just 1 commandment disqualifies you from getting into heaven and has condemned you to hell. This is why the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, God knows that we are all guilty of breaking His commandments. That's why He said we've all sinned and fallen short of His standard. But you don't have to be depressed about this. I do have some good news to share with you. In Romans 5, 7-8, it says, "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends His love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You see, God loves you so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for the sin in your life. Jesus was more than just a good man. He was God becoming man and walking among us. That is why Jesus died on the cross. He took your place and paid for your sins with His shed blood so that you can have everlasting life. God loves you so much that He sent His own Son to pay a debt He did not owe, because you owe a debt you could not pay. Jesus bridged the gap created by sin between you and God. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You see, there are 3 places we can exist in this universe: earth, heaven, and hell. So when we die here on earth, we don't just cease to exist. We will step out of our physical bodies and go to one of 2 places, heaven or hell. God did not send His Son to condemn you, but that through Jesus you might be saved and have eternal life in heaven. God's free gift to you is eternal life through His Son, Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Me." You see, God offers His love to you through Jesus, even though you are a sinner. This unmerited grace is not something you can buy or earn, but a gift from God. As you're listening right now and realize you're a sinner, know that God loves you and wants to save you. All you need to do is repent of your sins and ask God to forgive you. The word repent means to change your direction. You've been running away from God. Now it's time to start running toward Him. The Bible says in Psalms 103:12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us." That means if you call out to God and confess your sins, He will forgive you. What Jesus has done in the past for others, He will do for you. If you call out to Him, He will answer you. He won't look down upon you because of your past, and there isn't a sin so great that it can't be forgiven. All He wants for you is to come to Him. He will help anybody who calls out to Him. If you have sin in your life, God still loves you. If you ask God to save you, He will do so. It is important to remember that talking to God can be done anywhere and anytime. You don't have to be in church to talk to God. He will meet you wherever you are. As you're listening to me right now, if you feel a conviction of sin in your life, that is God's Holy Spirit moving upon you. Friend, you need to repent of your sins right now and call out to Jesus. You might not get another chance. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Friend, you need to make a decision today. one that will affect you for eternity. You have a choice. The road to hell is paved with good intentions, so act today. I would like to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and be your personal Lord and Savior. Now you might ask, what you just said, exactly what does that mean? Well, if you want to start anew and have your sins forgiven, Jesus is the way. There is no other way to God than through Jesus. I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a personal relationship with the God of creation who loves you so much and is just waiting for you to reach out to Him. That is what I mean by asking Jesus to come into your life and save you. Won't you pray with me right now? God, I confess that I am a sinner and that I need to be saved from my sins. Jesus, I ask that you would forgive me of my sins. I turn from them now and I put my faith in you. Come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you paid for my sins on the cross through your shed blood, and that you died for me and rose from the grave. Save me, Jesus. I know I can't save myself. Thank you for saving me and giving me eternal life and a place in heaven with you. Help me to be obedient and to walk with you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you just prayed with me and asked Jesus to save you, you are now a Christian. You have become born again and are a new creation in God's eyes. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." You see, you're not saved because you might feel saved, but because you have called upon God and He has saved you. Now, as a way to grow closer to Him, the Bible tells you to follow up on your commitment. Spend time with God each day. It doesn't have to be a long period of time. Just develop a daily habit of talking with Him and reading the Bible. Ask God to increase your faith and understanding of the Bible. Also, find a local church where you can worship God and seek fellowship with other Christians to answer your questions and support you. Be sure they use a King James Bible if you live in an English-speaking country, and that the pastor teaches out of the Bible. Plus, don't forget to share your new faith in Jesus with somebody else. After all, if I didn't make this recording to share with you, how would you have heard the good news? Finally, please contact us and tell us about your decision. We will send you some written material that will help you in your new walk with Jesus. This is Charles Terrell with European American Evangelistic Crusades. May you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever.
You've been listening to Pastor John S. Terrell of Resurrection Life with Jesus Church in Sacramento, California. This message was the sixth part in the series, Accepting the Love of God, and was entitled, Are You a Friend of Jesus? Christians know that Jesus is our Lord and Savior, but He also wants to be your friend. It's true, and He has given a number of promises upon which we can rest assured that these are not merely empty words. To become a friend, you must be born again, and Jesus will never abandon you. He will give you eternal life and prepare a place in heaven for you. He will meet all your needs, provide healing, and never let you be tempted above what you are able to handle. Furthermore, He will give you peace and rest and send the Holy Spirit to comfort and guide you. Indeed, what a friend we have in Jesus! The question remains, are you allowing Him to be your friend? Remember, it's not so important how you begin your life after salvation, but how you finish it. This message is available on cassette, CD, and DVD. When ordering, ask for sermon number 1334. There are several ways to contact our ministry. You can visit our website at eaec.org. There you can learn more about Pastor Terrell's ministry, read insightful articles, and explore the online store. The web address once again is eaec.org. If you prefer to write, address your envelope to Resurrection Life of Jesus Church, Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. That's Post Office Box 166, Sheridan, California, 95681. If you prefer to call us, the toll-free number in the United States is 1-888-708-3232. That's 888-708-3232. For calls from outside the U.S., the number is 916-944-3724. That's 916-944-3724. Resurrection Life of Jesus Church is sponsored by European American Evangelistic Crusades, and this has been a production of EAEC. Thanks for joining us today, and until next time, may God richly bless you as you read your Bible and walk with Him.